telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have quite a busy day for each and every one of you. We're going to start out the afternoon with Professor Lowell Barrington. He is a professor of political science and associate professor at Marquette University. His teaching and specialization include post-communist politics, nationalism, democratization. He is an expert. We're going to talk about Ukraine, what occurred on Friday, what continues to transpire in the news. And we're going to finish out today's show, continuing our discussion about Ukraine, about Western Europe, about the United States' role in foreign policy, in the world order as a hegemon. We're going to be joined by Karina Tweedwell. She is with Wisconsin Ukrainians. They held a march, a protest, if you will, this Saturday. So we're going to have a very Ukraine and foreign policy heavy show today. And at 3 p.m., we're going to be joined by Greta Bedakovics of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to be talking about that SAVE Act and how it may disenfranchise tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Wisconsinites. People may lose their vote if the SAVE Act is signed into law. And at the bottom of this half hour, I'm going to talk to you about the Republican, the House budget bill. Because both Ron Johnson and Congressman Van Orton and Congressman Steil have been saying, The budget resolution doesn't say anything about cuts, and we need to debunk the lies that are being told about that with some basic mathematics. So you're not going to want to go anywhere. We got 2 hours of packed content for you today. I want to bring Professor Barrington onto the show. Thank you so much for making time, Professor Barrington. It has been quite a tumultuous past 3 days.
It certainly has been. I think even the things we've forgotten already because of Friday, like the U.S. voting against the condemnation of Russia at the United Nations, and things just in the immediate rearview mirror seem like they've already been a month ago.
Yes, that U.N. vote is certainly was a harbinger of what was then to come this past Friday in the Oval Office. I want to dig right in. Many headlines over the weekend, Professor, raising the question, can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States? Can our Western allies, democracies, fledgling democracies, continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
Well, there's kind of two pieces to that question. One is the bigger picture international relations question, and maybe I'll come back to that. But in terms of the immediate perception in Europe and perception of smaller allies, it's very concerning. One of the maybe unintended consequences of what happened on Friday is that there has been a swift and almost completely unified response by Europe to support Ukraine and to really start talking seriously about a much more Europe-focused defense strategy without the U.S. There's a British political scientist who was discussing the conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? Right. And he said, that's the wrong question. The right question now is, can Europe build a new table? Mm. And I think that's where they are. They feel like the first Trump administration, there were a lot of challenges for Europe. And it took a long time after 2020 to rebuild those connections and really get our allies back into feeling pretty confident about us and our support. This is one of these, fool me once, fool me twice things. I think that there's a real sharp break, and ultimately, February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
I agree. Folks, if you're just joining us, this is The Maggie Dawn Show. We're speaking with Marquette University Associate Professor in the Department of Political Scientist, an expert on democratization, post-Soviet Union Europe. And we're speaking about the last week plus of news surrounding and catalyzed in a different way by the Oval Office meeting amongst President Trump, Vice President Vance, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. You speak of building a new table that our European allies, whom for 80, 85 years coming out of World War II, very much viewed the United States as a reliable actor in the foreign policy realm. Some distinctions between Republican and Democratic presidents, but for the most part, an absolute unwavering commitment from the United States, one, to stand by our obligations under NATO, the strongest, most long-lasting military alliance in human history, and secondly, to stand up for these principles of democracy, self-determination, the importance of sovereign boundaries, borders, and as John F. Kennedy said on January 9th, 1961, that the eyes of all people are upon us and our governments in every branch, at every level, national, state, and local, that we must be as a city upon a hill constructed and inhabited by people aware of their great trust and their great responsibilities. My question, Professor, is this: is NATO fracturing? Has the United States now reached a tipping point where our allies in NATO can't really rely on our military commitments under that alliance? And if NATO is no more, then what next?
I'm not sure I would go as far as to say it's no more, but the heart of NATO, the thing that is everything that really holds it together, is the Article 5 understanding that an attack on any NATO member is an attack on all. And if I were the government of Estonia right now, I might be pretty concerned if Putin were to try to sort of poke around, move across the border a little bit, go back, see what happens. That while there might be a European response, the U.S. response right now is actually pretty unclear. And again, there's a long context to the Russia-Ukraine topic, but on the NATO piece itself, I mean, we shouldn't be real surprised about this. I think there was reason to think that if President Trump had won in 2020, that he was going to move against U.S. membership in NATO and work to kind of break it apart. And part of that, again, is this has been a longstanding issue for Putin. And I want to highlight one thing about NATO expansion, because, again, whether we think they should or not, Russian leaders have felt genuinely threatened by NATO expansion. And objectively, we can talk about why that might be, that, when Putin came to power, and since that time, NATO's added 16 countries, so it's kind of doubled its size, most of that movement obviously toward Russia, right? So there's this real genuine sense of that on the Russian side. And I think that, one of those is that Putin is strategic, but he's a true believer about some things, and that NATO is dangerous is a real
It's a core belief, yes.
Mm-hmm. It is. And so for him, Friday was a huge win because, and in fact, I don't know if you've seen the statements out of the Russian government about, that they're praising our new direction foreign policy, how it largely aligns with Russia's position, all of that, right? So I do think that in that way, what we have thought of as NATO is not as obvious as it's in place in a strong way. But again, I do think that there is going to be a unified European approach that will initially exist alongside NATO. Whether it replaces it, I don't know. This is something that in 2 years or even 4 years, we may be back to a strong U.S.-Europe alliance. Right now, it doesn't look like that.
Folks, again, this is Professor Lowell Barrington, an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. You were referencing the statements that have come out of the Kremlin and out of Russia after the meeting. This is from the Moscow Times on March 1st, so this was just on Saturday. Quote, "The new administration is rapidly changing all foreign policy configurations. This largely aligns with our new vision." This was a quote in the Moscow Times on Saturday from Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov. So Moscow views this favorably. Can Europe, without the United States, secure itself, either in an arrangement that perhaps runs parallel to NATO, Professor? Can they afford to secure themselves? Do those calculations change if you see additional Russian, what's the word I'm looking for, rumblings, whether it be Poland or Estonia or another member? Does Europe have both the financial and military capacity to, in effect, defend itself?
I think they have the economic capacity. I think they have the eventual military capacity. You know, one of the things we've seen, and again, as we think about history, this is not a great thing maybe, but we've seen Germany, for example, start to spend a lot more on its military in the last few years. I think there is a sense that Europe understands that it needs to do more on its own in this way. But there's a piece of your question, I think, that from a, and look, I don't think President Trump was thinking of it in this way. I doubt he has thought this through from a kind of theories of international relations standpoint. But what his actions point to right now is this sort of odd multilateral international order that, I mean, represents really a sharp break both of the post-World War II order and the post-Cold War order. And I've heard a couple people say this is something I thought about in the last couple of days too, but it really is resembling more and more a kind of mid to late 19th century great power focused approach.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we all know what came after the late 19th century. We got into the 20th century with two world wars. So yes, the question immediately, especially for someone like Zelensky, does Europe have the capacity to defend itself? Absolutely. It's got a much, you know, much larger economy and military force even potentially than a country like Russia would have. But it, the real question is, are we moving into a place that ultimately is not as stable as we've been?
Folks, that's Professor Lowell Barrington of Marquette University's Political Science Department. We're going to dig in after the break. What happens with this vacuum, with the United States stepping back? What can we expect as Americans? Are we as safe today as we were on Thursday? Those questions with Professor Barrington next on The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Keep on running, 'cause the winner don't quit on themselves.